In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
41 seconds to go. Levis approaches the line of scrimmage, takes the snap, takes a knee. It is over. The Houston Texans get upset by the Tennessee Titans, 32-27, squandering opportunity after opportunity and seeing their record drop to 7-5 with another division matchup with Jacksonville on the road coming up.
It's a disappointing loss for us. We didn't do anything well enough to win this game. Out of all the positives that we did have, there are way too many negatives, right? Too many negative plays, right? We score, we get a penalty, we get touchdowns called back, get penalties on special teams. It's just way too many negative plays defensively, like, unexplainable, right? Explosives for touchdowns. It's just, we didn't play good across the board, and that starts with me, obviously. And no, we weren't ready to go as a team, so that starts with me.
It does indeed. Welcome in, everybody, on a Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Good to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us, with you for the next couple hours here on Sports Radio 610. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm miserable, Sean. I'm absolutely miserable. This is, you know why? You know why I'm miserable, especially because this is exactly the kind of game where afterwards somebody that expected the Titans to win can very, very easily say, "Well, what'd you expect?" Because really, every single thing that I worried about going into this game, where I said, "Hey, this could be a good gauge. Even though the Titans are a bad team, the Titans do some things that the Texans have struggled with." And then, boom. Oh, shot plays by the offense. Yep, there you go. By the Titans offense.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, the defense susceptible to big plays. That, okay, got that. All right. Are you able to run the ball versus a team with a physically dominant defensive line? Not even close.
How'd that go?
Not even close. Yeah. Lions, Vikings, the Texans have been able to do a single damn thing against them. All of Joe Mixon's powers are rendered moot. Or mute. Whichever one's proper there.
Whichever one is the worst one, yeah. Exactly.
Hey, you guys have gotten bitten by injuries before. Have you fixed that? Oh, sure, we got that. No, you don't have that fixed whatsoever. But then the weirdest thing is damn Kymie Fairbairn missing a 28-yard field goal on a day that he sets a record for or ties a record for 50-plus yard field goals.
Yep, for the season. Yeah.
Am I missing one of the obvious things? I feel like I'm missing one. Oh, well, CJ just not being himself.
Well, and throw in penalties, too, because they had 9 penalties in the second half of this football game, and none of them came at a time, it felt like at least, where the penalties were, you know, somewhat benign. Like, oh, okay, it's a false start at midfield. It's first and 15 at our own 45 now. No. You got illegal blindside blocks on the last drive of the game, so you were starting at the 8 instead of the 27-yard line. You know, you were... Yeah. You were getting holding penalty. There's never a good time for a holding penalty. And this offensive line has holding penalties in it. Back-to-back false starts to turn a 3rd and 6 into a 3rd and 16 at midfield. You know, just think, So, I mean, you have a nice list. I'll throw the penalties in there with it as well. Like
the procedural stuff, and this is where it all comes back on Bobby Slowick. Look. Whenever you're looking at something and it's really hard to define exactly what's wrong with it, hell yeah, blame the manager. You walk into a restaurant and everything's just a little bit off. Like, this is the worst Denny's I've ever been in. Fire the manager.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I can't take, Sean, I cannot take seeing another Nico Collins huge play
called back
for something damn procedural.
Right.
Including last week with Laremy Tunsil.
Yes.
Too far downfield. Simple. That's a detail. Fix that. Don't execute like a bunch of slack-jawed idiots out there. You get another Nico Collins back because of illegal motion, two men in motion.
Yeah.
All this idiotic, inane stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to lose. You're going to lose versus the Titans. You're going to lose. Oh, okay,
lose to the Jags on Sunday if you do this stuff on the road.
Hey, what's this team going to do in their playoffs? Do you think they'll run up against a team that has good defensive linemen at some point? Hey, do you think they might run up against a team that can kill you with shot plays offensively? Where in the playoffs are they going to face a quarterback as good as Will Levis? You know, so 100%. We wondered, okay, how much could you actually learn from a game versus the Titans? We learned a lot. Yeah, they are not ready for primetime.
We did.
They are regressing and getting worse as the season goes along. They've lost 4 of their last 6 games.
Yep.
They're not a good football team.
They're not. They're not. And here is the biggest concern for me. This is by far the biggest concern, is that the two biggest beacons of hope for this franchise starting last season in training camp were D'Amico Ryans as the head coach and C.J. Stroud as the quarterback. And both, and D'Amico asked us to put it on him in that cut we played in coming in, they are both showing serious flaws right now. I'll start with D'Amico, and this is a big one. I have serious questions right now. There's a lot that comes with D'Amico Ryans that's really, really good. And a lot of it we don't see on a day-to-day basis because it's the rejuvenation of the building and the franchise as a whole. And I acknowledge that those things are important. I think that energy is a lot of what fueled you to getting to 10-7 last year with a very young football team. I acknowledge that that is important, and it will be important moving forward. And this is not me bailing on D'Amico Ryans. But I have serious questions. The things you're talking about, Seth, the list that you had are systemic things that have reared their heads all year long, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. And the solution has been to continue to trot out the same thing every week, the same scheme, the same methodology, the same mentality, the same guys every single week. I have serious questions as to whether D'Amico Ryans is what I'll call a wartime consigliere. You see the movie The Godfather? Remember they fired Tom, the lawyer who was the consigliere to Vito Corleone, because, hey, man, you're a great consigliere when times are good and business is booming. But when things are going a little sideways and you need a little bit more meanness, a little more gumption, a little more got to make some changes here, you're not the right guy. And I'm not saying fire D'Amico Ryans, but what I am saying is there are questions right now as to whether or not he's the right kind of head coach to solve these serious problems that they have right now, because there have not been any solutions yet. The only change that's been made is because C.J. Stroud landed on top of Kenyon Green on a play that Kenyon Green screwed up. Other than that, it's the same stuff on the offensive side of the ball. People can point the finger at Bobby Slowick. This is D'Amico Ryan's problem too, and it might even be a bigger D'Amico Ryan's problem now. That's my question. Like, dude, this is the first serious thing you've had to fix with this team since you got. Last year was a honeymoon. Stuff could go wrong, and we didn't care. People care this year, and I think you're doing a pretty good job as a defensive coordinator. Big plays allowed, notwithstanding. By and large, this defense has been very good. The offense has not, and the offense is getting worse, and that goes to the second thing. C.J. Stroud is getting worse. On your watch, the rookie of the year was outplayed by Will Levis yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. It's
unacceptable.
It wasn't particularly close. You know, C.J.'s interceptions over the last few weeks have been decidedly non-rookie C.J. Stroud interceptions. I think they're ones that he wouldn't have thrown in his rookie season. Yeah, this is spiraling quickly. The only good thing that I heard once yesterday was when Jimmy Ward was on the post game with you and Clint, and he said, "Hey." And Jimmy's about as honest as it gets. I mean, he was very open about his own bad play early in the game. But just that there's no chatter from guys, you know, whining about this, whining about that, at least not that he's heard. So, like, the core DNA of the team, it's not like it's a bad team full of bad dudes, but they have severe underperformances offensively right now. And none of it's getting better.
No.
And the problem is, when you look at the offensive linemen individually, one by one, there are plenty of good teams that have that have average offensive linemen out there, but who aren't just so routinely getting eviscerated and/or making idiotic plays that make it. And they've shown no. Okay, you're not a big physical offensive lineman. You've got to show some level of expertise and scrappiness or what have you in developing an outside zone run game. They do nothing.
This was, of all the things D'Amico said in the post game, I thought he had some good things to say. This one was not one of them. This was not his finest moment as the head coach of this team. Sorry about that. That was not my finest moment as a host. This was not D'Amico's finest moment. He put the loss on the defense yesterday.
The concern for me is we need to play complementary football, right? We play complementary football, we win games. When we don't, we're not relying on one side, right, to carry the entire team. So whatever happens, our offense gave us enough points to win the game. So that starts with the defense. We didn't do enough to stop them. We didn't stop the run, and we didn't run the ball well. And we gave up way too many points on defense. So our offense did plenty. They gave us enough points. In defense, we have to be able to stop them.
I was shocked by that. I was shocked. I was shocked.
The offense gave you 20 points.
I was shocked. The offense gave you 20 points. They didn't give you 27. The defense gave you 7 of those. They gave you 20 points. I was shocked. You don't have to point fingers at one side or the other. Like, you can say that both sides, because the defense did some good things, but yes, ultimately, those back-breaking huge plays count for the defense. I totally understand. Complementary football can be bad complementary football, too. It can be a thing where all sides have failed, including special teams, by the way. Kyme Fairbairn, last I checked, is a specialist. He shanked a 28-yard field goal. The offense got gifted 10 points, but they got gifted 7 points by Jimmy Ward on a pick six. As far as the points the offense actually scored, they had a one-play drive in the first 15 seconds of the game, thanks to Damian Pierce on an 80-yard kickoff return. And then they got gifted a possession on a muffed punt where they managed 4 plays for 7 yards and kicked a 54-yard field goal. Like, that's half the points they scored. The longest, they had a 78-yard drive for a touchdown. Other than that,
In the first half, perchance?
It was in the first half, Seth.
Yeah, that's when it happened.
I promise you it's not in the second half of any of these games. Other than that, the longest drive they had was a 55-yard drive for a field goal.
I'll tell you another one.
Point the finger at the defense as opposed to the offense?
Especially when, my God, is there anything worse than a Texans takeaway on defense these days? Because you can just dial up 3 points at best
out of
the offense.
Right.
Like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
Just wait. We're going to have a 6-play, 9-yard drive somehow because at some point an offensive lineman's going to get penalized.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
I'll tell you, the most frustrating and infuriating one, this goes on Bobby Slowick and D'Amico, is just simply that 4th and short on your own 40, decide whether to go for it or not. CJ's looking to the sideline for a call.
Yeah.
Instead, you roll out.
It's a clown operation.
You bring the punt team out there, and they take a delay of game.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
It's a clown operation.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah. It's a yesterday. Not over. I mean, yesterday was a clown operation on every level. You lost to the Tennessee Titans and Will Levis at home, and Will Levis pieced you. So yeah, I'm not sitting here saying no. It's not. It was the offense, not the defense. It was both.
It was both. It was both. Right. The defense. I mean, how many times as Cody Stutes pointed out this yesterday? Like, you're getting to the point now where historically, how many teams have been this weird? You've lost a game where you had five interceptions on defense and still managed to lose that. You have eight sacks yesterday. Eight sacks yesterday and yet got pieced by the guy who had gotten sacked eight times. Right. Will Levis started off, what was the streak? 11 for 11? Did it go beyond that? I can't even remember.
He was 9 for 9 and 11 for 12 at points that I looked at the box score. Yeah, he was 11 for 12 at halftime. When he wasn't getting sacked, he was completing big chunk plays down the field. It was one or the other. All right, we got a lot to get to. You mentioned Jimmy Ward, Seth. I want to get to that. Jimmy Ward, we had our best post-game show interview yesterday, I thought. Jimmy Ward was brutally honest with something that we've been pointing out about this team. We've been told, hey man, win's a win. Win's a win. Jimmy Ward was brutally honest in the post-game show yesterday, I thought, about how this team has handled their business this year. And will it change? We'll hear from Texan safety Jimmy Ward coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of people weighing in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. We'll get to some of your thoughts in just a second, but everybody...
Are people happy?
Everybody's very frustrated right now. Someone said, all caps, clown operation, perfectly said. They were yesterday. They've been a clown operation the whole time. Don't get it twisted, but yesterday, that was a clown operation on all sides, on all facets of the game yesterday.
You let Amy Adams Strunk come in and
do you?
Basically say, oh, we own this now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, man. That was... Yeah. That's. Oh, man, I haven't even thought about that. Yes. They did. Jimmy Ward was on the post-game
show. She slept in the Astrodome the night before.
She did, for old time's sake. Jimmy Ward was on the post-game show yesterday, and I got him scheduled for the post-game show after he got the pick six. You know, I was excited. I thought, all right, this is where it turns. They put these guys away. They're going to wither the better team. You needed a play from the defense. They got a field goal to actually go up 27-23, and now I'm like, all right, yeah, you just got to keep them out of the end zone. Just don't, if you don't give up any big 60-yard plays, keep them out of the end zone. Literally 5 seconds after I said that, Okonkwo, or whatever his name is, goes 70 yards for a touchdown.
I was listening. I was kind of, it was a hodgepodge of watching on TV and listening on the radio yesterday.
Yeah.
And that was exactly I missed that play. I had stepped back out from the bathroom, and I hear Andre just flipping the hell out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what possibly could have happened that was so, that's pretty bad.
Yep.
That's pretty bad. Henry Toto gets sucked up on the play action, as the Texans defenders tend to do.
Yeah.
Then the tight end catches the ball, and you know, there are a few Texans threw their bodies in that general direction, but generally uncontested into the end zone.
Yep. So Jimmy Ward, as soon as he got that pick six, I text Omar, who heads up PR for the Texans. I'm like, Jimmy's our guy. Let's get him on the post game. Yeah. And then the Texans lose. And in some ways, I was even more glad we got Jimmy Ward on the post game, because after a loss, you just never know with a player. Jimmy Ward, I knew we were going to get some unvarnished opinion on where this team is at right now. You know, he's honest to a fault, I would say, in interviews. And he did not disappoint. Here was Jimmy Ward wondering why the team plays and yesterday played down to its level of competition.
Starts from the top. Starts from captains. Starts from the vets. We got to play good. First of all, we got to play good, and then we got to start calling people out. We got to have our. That's just how it goes. We got to have our own only players meeting. We had a few of those already. Probably gonna have to have another one, and just, you know, try to see what's going on, man. Like, we can't. I feel like. I don't like to say this, but I feel like we play down to our competition at times. Like, throughout this year, when I've been looking at it, it's like, I don't know what it is. We've just been taking some of these guys lightly, especially in the first half. Well, no, not take that back. It was the second half slump that we was doing over the last few weeks. But this week, it's like we woke up and it was the second half. Like we can't do that. That's losing football.
Okay, so I mean he's saying something. When he said that, in my mind I'm going, oh, you don't say. That game they played yesterday is the same game they've been playing for a year and a half now. It just happened to fall the other way this time, you know? Yeah,
you know what, Sean? I mean, in a lot of respects, we talked earlier about how, okay, this team clearly isn't ready for prime time in that when you get to the playoffs, hey, you're going to face a team that has good defensive linemen at some point.
Right.
Hey, you're going to face a quarterback that's better than Will Levis at some point. Like, these are the things you're not prepared for. And I think really the two biggest non-swarm performances that jump into my mind, if you had to ask me right now, as Jimmy Ward was talking, were the Jets game, where you showed up and weren't swarm-like in the second half. The offense was never swarm-like the entire game.
Yeah.
Or this game, where the defense shows up and they're incredibly non-swarm-like in the first half and then in doses in the second half. Okay, are you ready for prime time? Well, it seems like on a short week, y'all suck. Like, yo, a Thursday night game, we can't possibly play the Jets after only 4 days rest.
Yeah, and this was a short week, then, okay, too. Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me, and I was disgusted by it, because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, they can't possibly just be looking like this because they're kind of out of sorts after a short week because of a Monday night game at home, right? That can't possibly be it.
Yeah.
And then that's what it looked like. So it's just, you add it to the list of things that this team's not ready for, and they're clearly not ready for prime time, playoff, et cetera, action.
Yep, no question. Here's one more from Jimmy Ward. I asked him, I think we got the question in here with this, why does the foot come off the gas pedal with you guys?
Can you take us down onto the sideline at all or inside the huddle at all as to why sometimes the foot comes off the gas pedal a little bit maybe and these games end up being a little closer than they should be?
I really have no clue why we get comfortable and why we take our foot off the gas. Maybe we probably feel like a team is going to quit. Like, for me, I don't stop. I don't necessarily. I know it's a four quarter game, so I can't speak on a team, and that's the thing that we got to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, we got to figure out, like, how can we play four quarters and finish a game?
The only thing I have to go on is what I observe the head coach say and what I see on the field. I'm not in the locker room. I've never been in the locker room, you know, like during the week. You're a former player. So I'm coming at this from the angle of somebody who is a fan of the team, a big fan of the team, somebody who has, you know, like D'Amico, I've been in management positions before, having to get into the psyche of your people and things like that. All I see is a head coach who talks about how close these games are and how it comes down to a play here and a play there, comes down to a fourth quarter. You got to finish. These games are all close. It's an 8-8 league. It's hard to win in this league, all these things. And I feel like sometimes if that's what you say all the time, you speak things like this into existence. When you're not talking about dominating, and maybe they are behind the scenes, that's why I concede I'm only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
But man, this D'Amico Ryan sure talks about a guy that the goal is just to be hanging in there in the fourth quarter, and then we got to go finish and make plays. And I don't know, man, they play like a team whose head coach says we want to be in there in the fourth. They games that they're up 20-3 on the Bills, I look at it, I go, well, this is going to be a close game in the fourth quarter, because I feel like they've had it drilled into their heads how close all these games are in the NFL in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because this game, let's say Kaimi Fairbairn pulls off the impossible and makes a 28-yard field goal.
Let's say
he pulls off the impossible.
30-30.
Miracles do happen. And it's a tie game, and then who knows what happens after that. I think we'd be having the same conversations after this, right? Because we've been having them all season long after wins that that whatever you want to call it, killer instinct, put your foot. This is the problem. They have the potential to do that defensively. They don't always live up to it, but they have the potential. They do not have that potential offensively.
No.
They are just simply not a good offense. They haven't been. CJ's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league over the last six games.
Yep.
Like, they're not a good offense. So I don't know. I'm torn. I feel like, yes, there is a huge, not even a kernel, but a large nugget of truth given that the mentality and that part of it. But I don't know what you would do with that mentality.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I feel like you're walking around with a big old Colt 45, but no ammunition.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, look at me.
Yep.
I got a big swagger and like, oh, don't hit me. That's what the offense is right now. They're boys. It's boys versus men. You know?
Yeah.
That offensive line, they are little boys out there thrown into a frat party for the first time in their life. Yeah, the Titans' defensive line was basically forcing them to butt-chug beer all afternoon.
They're bad.
And now they've got alcohol poisoning in the hospital.
They're bad.
Okay?
They're bad. And you know what? Stop interviewing Titus Howard after these games. Just stop interviewing.
What did he say? I didn't even know what he said.
It's not like he just said, we got to figure out who we want to be over these next few weeks. Like, oh, okay, now you got to do that. All right.
I didn't realize you were having an existential crisis.
We got to figure out who we want to be. I don't need to hear from the people who are completely failing at their jobs talk about, like, we got to figure out who we got to be. You know, the guy who said they let the Jets game slip away. Like, it's just, I just don't, after a game like that, I just don't need to hear from him. I guess I can choose not to hit play.
That's a, yeah.
On the video, but I just see the video and I'm like, oh, I'm watching the replay of him trying to hand fight with Jeffrey Simmons or whoever was rushing from the outside. And he looks like a little kid trying to swat flies. You know?
I'll go back to what I said at the beginning, which is that it drives me insane when a team loses and it's so easy for somebody to say, well, what did you expect to happen? Because everything I did, I did a little preview video since yesterday. I was just, I barely knew that I was on planet Earth, but I put out like a 3-minute preview video. The video was almost dead on accurate, except that every single thing that I basically was saying, hey, the Texans need to do this, the Texans didn't do it.
Yeah.
And it starts with those interior defensive line. I thought, all right, Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat are a big headache and a big problem. Can you just adequately handle these guys? You don't have to beat them or dominate them or anything. Can you just look adequate versus them? And no, clearly they could not.
They could not.
I was foolish to even entertain it as a notion. I was just like, I'm as dumb could be, because it was like I had placed money on the sun not rising this morning.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, that's somehow this absolute certainty, the Texans' offensive line getting destroyed by Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, somehow wasn't going to happen.
Right, right. They were literally, the Texans, literally up 7-0 18 seconds into the game. I mean, they spotted you. They spotted you a 7-point lead that the Titans
so,
did. Like,
the
you
Texans
literally started
so good in the first 3 plays of a game.
Yeah.
Going back to last year versus Indy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Well, and Nico, my God, how many times are we going to... It's a crime.
Yeah.
It's a crime what they're doing to Nico.
The penalties you're talking about?
You just keep negating these huge Nico plays with idiotic penalties, procedural crap.
It's bad. They were up 7-0 18 seconds into the game. By the 11-minute mark of the second quarter, they're down 17-7. It's just, it's maddening.
Jimmy Ward, to his credit, brought it up unprompted, the big play that he let up early on.
He did. Yep.
Where he got pretty technical, but basically, he admitted he should have been driving to the post because he's not going to be able to keep up with that. That's not a physical issue. And I know, like, people get upset when they see, oh, why is the safety on this guy? Well, he's not manned up on him, but he should have anticipated the post coming over. And he talked about how it was good. Brandy loves Jimmy now because, like, right before that, I'd been talking about the difference between veteran players and young players is identifying the greatest threat. And Jimmy screwed up there. He didn't identify. He should have really realized, okay, that's my biggest threat right there. I got to drive to the post.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it. But there were other times in the game where the defensive line is the defensive tackles. There's times in that game with some of those traps, the trap for the touchdown. I was talking to Brandy during the game about that, about, like, you see, these guys they're not identifying the greatest threat.
Yep.
And the defensive line is getting crushed on some of these plays where, yes, you are an upfield aggressive defense. There's a few little checks and balances to that. You got it. When you're a team where the defensive linemen just get upfield as fast as possible, there's a few little key indicators where you got to throttle it down a little bit. And these guys are blazingly unaware in those situations. Yeah. And the Titans were able to take advantage of it.
Big time. Big time. Text message.
Brazenly and blazingly.
5-hour energy fan line. If the Ravens lose tonight, all the teams who haven't had a bye week yet will be 7-5, besides the Colts, who are 5-7. Maybe fatigue is catching up with these teams. I don't want to make excuses for the Texans. I don't think the lack of a bye week yet is the reason why you don't know whether or not you want to punt or go for it on fourth down. I don't think it's the reason why you give up big chunk plays. I will say, in terms of maybe just the general wear and tear on the team, this week 14 bye week is for the birds. I think we need to get back next year to where the bye week is like week 7 or 8. You know what I mean?
I was a big bye week denier.
Yeah.
I did not want to acknowledge that it had anything to do with anything. I believed my own propaganda too long, and it's blown up in my face.
Yeah, it's a good text. It's not why they lost yesterday, but it's not something I want to experience again. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. The Texans will finish 8-9. CJ's brain is fried. Management was slow to act in making O-line changes, specifically Kendrick Green. I think they mean Kenyon right there. And it cost us our second pick in the draft.
Kenyon, Kendrick, Juice Scruggs, whatever it might be, your left guards have been garbage.
You know,
just absolute garbage. It's just, it's unbelievable. This is the thing about the whole energy thing. You know what? This is the thing. It can be an explanation, but it's certainly not an excuse because of the same short week thing that we were talking about before. You know what? This is what's so un-D'Amico Ryan's like about this team. Okay, oh, you've got a short week. It's a Thursday night game. Oh, it's a short week. You had a Monday night game. Oh, the bye week is late. So what do? You just give into it. You just give into it. And this is where, okay, everybody, indulge me in being a grumpy old man a little bit. And I'll tell you, this is a sentiment that's also shared by some young people. When you're a team that jumps deep into the sports science, the rest and recovery, the GPS tells us this guy needs a break. Ooh, we're going to wait an extra week to let this guy come back. It invites softness into your organization. It invites softness. There's a certain hardness and toughness that comes from fighting through crap. This team's pointing to their damn GPS monitors. They might as well be. Oh, my legs don't feel ideal. My legs are not. Oh, they're not what they should. I feel they should be. Oh, maybe. No. Throw the damn GPS monitors and the sports. At least half your sports scientists are too soft. Throw them out of the building. Kick them out. It's soft. This is a soft football team right now. Yeah. They are soft.
Yes.
As a team, they're soft. Your field goal kicker is soft. You can't make a 28-yard field goal?
That is a great take on the GPS and the sports science. That is phenomenal.
GPS screwed me twice this weekend. Once in a complicated interstate exchange and another time in the football game
on
Sunday.
You're just a soft driver. I mean, that's the problem. You're soft. All right, let's get to headlines. I think we know how things went with the Texans yesterday. We'll get to the rest of the NFL. A little bit of Astros news, a little Rockets, a little college. We'll get to all of it coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get
41 seconds to go. Levis approaches the line of scrimmage, takes the snap, takes a knee. It is over. The Houston Texans get upset by the Tennessee Titans, 32-27, squandering opportunity after opportunity and seeing their record drop to 7-5 with another division matchup with Jacksonville on the road coming up.
Yeah. Texans got upset. Now we're getting upset this morning. Different kind of upset. But, Texans lose yesterday, 32-27 to the Tennessee Titans. And as Seth pointed out earlier, all the things that you expected to happen if the Titans were to win this game all happened.
They beat them exactly the way you would have expected them to beat them.
Exactly, yes.
Yep. That's the most frustrating thing.
Well, you can see it coming. Here comes
they showed...
Hey, you know how I might die by standing in the middle of the road? A truck running me over. Look, here comes a truck. Oh.
Yeah. You know, like, hey, you know what? I drive home drunk every single night, and I haven't been in an accident yet.
Right.
Well, yeah, at some point you're going to get in an accident.
Yesterday was the accident.
They drove right into the median yesterday.
They did, and so big chunk plays, couldn't contain the interior of the Titans' defensive line, committed a boatload of stupid penalties, and... The biggest thing, the biggest epidemic with this team is its inability to generate any offense in the second half of games. It happened again yesterday. Right now, as of the last two games, the loss to Tennessee and the win over the Cowboys, the defense has outscored the offense in the second half of games 14-13. With the Derek Barnett scoop and score last week and the Jimmy Ward pick six this week, the offense has only generated 13 points. Here was C.J. Stroud yesterday following the game on the team's struggles in the second half.
You can point a lot of places, but I always point at myself. You know, I'm the leader of the offense. I got to get us rolling, get our rhythm, you know, and, we got to find a better way to end the first half better, start the second half better. And, you know, that's ultimately starts with me and, you know, taking care of the football and, you know, getting into a rhythm, running the ball well, getting us into the right reads, the right looks. So, I would just say that's why. I mean, that's how we're going to get better. It's just I got to be better.
Yeah, he does. He knows it. CJ's accountable for it. We'll go through CJ's day at the top of the hour. It was definitely a tale of two afternoons for CJ Stroud. It felt like that first interception he threw right at the end of the half was like a pin that just popped a balloon for him. And he was not good the rest of the day after that. But, that I think, Seth, you nailed it. That the frustrating thing about this is it's like if you ask the question, why did you lose? You lost because of all the things that everybody was listing all week long as to these are the only ways you can lose to this Titans team.
Including the whatever the hell is going on with C.J. Stroud. I mean, that's probably the most curious and unexpected one. A lot of these issues on the team right now, you could have pointed to as things that we talked about in the offseason, things that we talked about during training camp. I was growing increasingly just terrified of what the offensive line was going to look like as training camp went along. Then people would make excuses. The O-line propaganda machine was all revved up about how, no, these are no big deals, all that. But CJ missing easy throws, CJ making decisions that he didn't make last year, all of that, and CJ being in a funk that's above and beyond just, hey, it's a product of all the bad stuff going around him. There's just too many times in these last few weeks where the protection is there, the receiver is open, the ball is thrown poorly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can't... Yes, he's taken a lot of punishment over the course of the season and everything. At a certain point, though, you don't make excuses for the quarterback.
No.
That's why they're the highest paid guys out there. That's why it's so hard to find good ones, because you don't make excuses for them. They're supposed to be unwavering in certain things, and CJ has wavered in a lot of
those. Yeah, he's wavered, and I think the biggest thing for me, well, we'll talk more about CJ at 7 o'clock. We'll go through his afternoon yesterday. Around the NFL, look, if you're still a Texans fan who's counting on getting to the postseason, wasn't all bad yesterday. The Colts did lose to the Detroit Lions 24-6, so the Colts right now still remain two games back of the Texans. The Colts' schedule is significantly easier than the Texans' schedule the rest of the way. I mean, that Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens trifecta over 11 days, after the day after losing to the Titans at home, I mean, that looks like you may as well be playing 11 on 15, it feels like, over the course of those three games. Like, it's, whew, I mean, you got to get through Jacksonville first, but the Colts lose to the Lions yesterday, so that went according to script, so that was good. Miami, who we just mentioned, that game has been, I said this past week, Seth, like, the Miami game has felt like it's been kind of forgotten over the, you know, as you look ahead at the rest of the schedule, like, got these division games, and oh yeah, that's right, you got the Chiefs and the Ravens in a four-day period. When they come back from the bye week, they play a Miami team that's starting to look like the Miami team a lot of people thought they were going to be this year with Tua back now. Tua had four touchdown passes yesterday. They beat the New England Patriots. I believe they're 5-6 now. Like, they've put themselves back into the swamp of teams that still have a reason to try the rest of the year.
No, and I think this is, again, where we, you know, we talked earlier about this team on short weeks just looks like they come out complete. They look like they're coming out on a short week ready for a Friday practice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Hey, isn't this normally when we would have a Saturday walkthrough today?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go out and treat it like a Saturday walkthrough. So when you come up on not just a short week, but an incredibly short 12-day period,
yeah,
where you're going to face several of the best teams in the league, you better figure that out sometime in the next month.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's
it's like,
right.
Oh, you're a little tired. Your legs feel a little dead. Yeah, just go out there and play.
That's
jackasses.
It's a great point. The Chiefs and the Ravens games, both short weeks. You come out of the bye week for the Dolphins, so at least you get extra time for that. But it's a six-day week for the Chiefs and a four-day week for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Headline.
So we'll keep moving. Dallas beats Washington. Yes, Washington's starting to get exposed a little bit here. Dallas gets a win. Hey, maybe Micah was right. Maybe Micah Parsons was right. Hey, we're a damn good football team. Went into Washington and beat the Commanders yesterday.
The Cliff Kingsbury cliff that his offenses fall off. Look, I think he's probably best suited to be a high school coach, really. He's only good for so many games, and then his offense falls apart. So he needs a shorter schedule,
yeah,
really. Or you bring him in halfway through the season.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you make him a 9-week OC, just like a part, you know, like a contract.
He needs to just go around signing 1-year deals with teams that have struggling offense. like the Texans.
Just for the rest of the year. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's make a trade. The trade deadline doesn't apply to coaches, right? We can send Slowick to Washington for Kingsbury. We can do that. Right?
Yeah. All right, that's what we should do. We should spend. I think Slowick should come in and be your first quarter coordinator because, man, he does seem to be pretty good at dialing up shot plays in the first quarter.
Then
everything is. But that's your highlight of your highlight offensively is going to be somewhere in the first quarter.
Yeah, let the fans...
If it doesn't get called back because of a penalty.
That's right. Astros news, they offered contracts, they tendered offers to all of their arbitration. All eight of their arbitration eligible players, including Framber Valdez and Kyle Tucker. So we'll see how that plays out now over the next couple of months. I think Astro fans hoping that there's an extension in the works for at least one of those two, if not both. College football, the new AP rankings are out after kind of a wild weekend of college football. Top five, Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. So three of the top four are Big Ten teams. As far as teams of interest, SMU up to ninth. In the AP poll, we'll see what the playoff poll looks like tomorrow night. Alabama falls to 13th. They got blown out by Oklahoma this weekend. A&M falls to 20th. They lost to Auburn in four overtimes, maybe looking ahead to Texas a little bit. Still, Aggies control their own destiny to get into the playoff. They beat UT and they win the SEC title game, and they will be one of the top four seeds. Colorado loses to Kansas over the weekend, so the dream of Dion in the college football playoff took a big hit this week. It's not dead, but it ain't looking good right now. So kind of a wild college football weekend. Rockets split with the Blazers.
Did you blame sports writers for that one?
No, actually, you know what? There's a video that popped up of him in the locker room with his team. This is where I give Dion credit. Yeah. You know, a lot of teams only show the victory speeches. With Dion, and this may be because he's got a camera crew following him around everywhere, he got into his team pretty good and said, y'all started believing all the press clippings this week.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing about Dion that fascinates me so much is that he is an old school coach in a lot of ways. You know,
really
like old school, old school.
Yes.
And I think sometimes people confuse his embracing of all of the just like media side of things and hype side of things that they don't realize that, no, he is old school when it comes to. So like the intrigue about him is his ability in this new world of NIL and everything else and social media to be able to find the balance. Yeah. So it's fascinating.
It's
and
real.
You got to keep in perspective the fact that, the Colorado job was a bigger turnaround than I think anybody wanted to really give him credit for when they got off to the fast start. So than a lot of people wanted to give him credit for.
They were 1-11 the year that he got there. I mean, they were dead in the water. Dion's done way more positive for that program. I mean, he's been hugely positive for that. Now we'll see if he sticks around. Signed a big five-star over the weekend. He stole a recruit from USC, a five-star quarterback. So we'll see if he's sticking around there if the NFL comes calling. Rockets split with the Blazers in their two games this weekend. So the Rockets 12-6 right now, third in the Western Conference in Minnesota to take on the Timberwolves tonight. Up next, we'll go through CJ's day, the two sides of CJ Stroud through the voice of Mark Vandermeer. We'll do that. We had a crazy caller to the postgame show that we'll get to as well, and we will acknowledge at about 7:20, 7:25-ish. We'll acknowledge big performances from over the weekend in a segment we call Acknowledge Me. We'll do that all coming up next as we head into the 7 o'clock hour.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Here's C.J. Stroud, shotgun, Joe Mixon to his right. First down at the Tennessee 19. Stroud takes the snap. He's got time in the pocket. Floats one right side, end zone, caught, Stover, touchdown, just like that. The Texans take the lead.
Yeah, felt good, man. 18 seconds in, you're up 7-0. 11 minutes left in the second quarter, you're down 17-7. And that's the 2024 Houston Texans in a nutshell. Just cannot, does no killer instinct, can't take an early lead like that, build on it, and dominate a bad football team. Instead, they allow a bad football team to hang around. My biggest concern is that the two people that we have hitched our wagon to the most since the beginning of last season, D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, they're showing some serious flaws right now. We'll get to D'Amico a little bit later. We hit him pretty hard in the first hour of the show. But C.J. Stroud yesterday, Seth, and C.J. Stroud in general over the last month and a half or so, has not been good. I was enthusiastic about the first half, though. Despite falling behind 17-7, they were able to come back and tie the game at 17. There were two big plays that got me excited about, okay, this is starting to look like CJ again. The first one was this one to Tank Dell.
CJ boots out to the right. Stroud looking to square up. Fires downfield to his left. Tank Dell with the catch at the 25-yard line. Breaks the tackle, but he can't get through the second man at the 21. Huge play to Tank. Texans at the threshold of the red zone.
Yeah, we can do that too. We can throw lob shots.
That was you know what play that was, I think? That was the Dalton Schultz touchdown against the Browns in the playoff game where CJ boots out right and throws it back across the field.
Yeah.
That was the play, and he did it to Tank Dell this time. And just, it was a 39-yard play. Just dropped it right in the bucket to Tank. And I'm like, all right, man, that's CJ Stroud right there. A little later on in the first half, he hits this deep shot to Nico Collins.
CJ Stroud, shotgun. One back, Mixon. First down, Texans at the Houston 35. Here's the snap. Stroud to throw. Airs it out deep down the left side for Nico. He's got it at the 20 and tackled inside the 10-yard line. Big play to Nico. First and goal, Houston.
So it's still in there, man. Like, it's still in there somewhere. You know, like, those were two gorgeous, gorgeous deep shot chunk plays.
A couple of the outs, too, were the old, you know, the one to Tank Dell in the second half. The one to Nico that didn't look like where they came up and got the playoff quickly because, you know, like they.
The one to Schultz to the left side that was right down in like the lower pocket there. I mean, just. Yeah. 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 I mean, those throws are still in there, man. And they were in the first half. At the end of the first half, I was sitting next to Lopez, and I said, you know what, like my big takeaway in the first half, because the Texans were trailing 20-17, like, I think they're going to win the game. We saw some big chunk plays from CJ again, you know, dropping back, he had protection, play was well executed, and then, right at the end of the first half, get the ball back, let's be aggressive, let's go try to get some points, and this happens.
Stroud takes the snap, Stroud fires, and picked off, oh no, Brownlee's got it, tagged out at the 20. As CJ was trying to find John Metchie, and he threw it wide, and the Titans have the ball at the Houston 20. The worst case scenario right here. They turn it over in their end.
Yeah. Yeah, worst case scenario. You know, that's, I admire the aggressiveness. Let's go try to get points, especially when the other team's getting the ball to start the second half, like the Titans were.
Yeah.
And credit the defense there. They came up with two big sacks to at least, A, hold him to a field goal, and B, make the field goal a tough one. It was a 56-yard field goal that they had
right,
to try there.
Right,
you know, like,
yeah.
Defense did their job.
It turns out the they could trust their field goal kicker yesterday.
Yeah.
We can't trust Kaimi Fairbairn anymore. Any of the magic that was there early in the season, Kaimi's just missing point-blank field goals and extra points and what have you. It just that's the unexpected. That's the unexpected part of the Texans falling apart that I didn't expect to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So CJ, good first half up until that interception, and then that interception was like a pin in a balloon, man. Like, it was bad the rest of the way, including towards the beginning of the second half, this interception right
here. CJ fakes the give. CJ under immediate pressure, looking, throwing over the middle, and intercepted at the 45-yard line and brought down at the 39-yard line. Murray.
Got nine interceptions on the season now.
Nine interceptions on the season, and then the ones in the last few weeks have been kind of ugly and not ones that you would expect. So, okay, he's got a miscommunication on the first one between him and Mechie. You know, ultimately, I always put that back on the quarterback because it's quarterback's job to be sure your receivers are running your offense.
Doing. Yeah,
You know, the Tom Brady, I think, was one of the best receivers coaches who ever lived. So, ultimately, yes, that goes back on Slowick and C.J. Stroud. When these things are routinely happening, when you're having ugly interceptions, on that specific play, you can blame John Mechie for not reading it the same way as C.J. But the sum total of everything is that it is a disjointed operation right now.
Yes.
And then the second interception, I don't think it was necessarily a bad decision, but it's a bad decision if that's the throw you're going to make. Right. You know, like, you got to have more zit. And I know pass protection wasn't perfect on that play. You just... And if it was in isolation, it would be one thing, but it's not in isolation now. We're seeing this over and over again.
Yeah, I'm looking at CJ's game log here, and other than the Indianapolis game that they won 23-20, he's been below an 80 passer rating in every game other than that Indianapolis game over the last 6 weeks. He was 78.7 yesterday. That's the best game he's had of those five that he's been under 80. But the second half, man, not after that first interception, Seth, after that interception that was a miscommunication with Mechie, 9 of 16, 98 yards. That second pick that we just played took three sacks for minus 26 yards, not all on him, but partially on him. And then this one, like at the end of the game, just like the – honestly, like the perfect microcosm of the day, the closeout here, the safety for the time.
Third down at 17 from the Houston 1. Stroud in his end zone in the gun. Gets the snap. CJ escapes to the right side, and he's sacked out of the back of the end zone. Safety.
That's where, Seth, I was like, and really from the get-go with that drive. That drive was doomed from the start because of MJ Stewart getting a penalty on the punt return. Credit the defense. Like, Kaimi misses that 28-yarder. And the defense comes up big. Daniil Hunter gets that huge TFL on second and three to make it third and six. And then they get pressure on Will Levis, and they get off the field. They get the ball back, and they return the ball to the Robert Woods returns the ball to the 27, but it gets called back by a penalty on MJ Stewart, who had a couple bad penalties yesterday. And they start at the 8, and they just move backwards from there. And then CJ, you know, the safety. Like, that was... In that moment, I'm like, man, that magic that we felt at the end of that Tampa Bay game where we came in here on Monday and the first thing I said was, we've got one of those guys who you just cannot give that opening to at the end of games now at quarterback. You cannot leave C.J. Stroud a minute left on the clock with a one-score lead because he's going to get you. That magic is gone. And maybe it comes back, but like for now... That magic is gone. They can't score points in the second half, let alone in the last 46 seconds of a game.
As it is right now, like, you take your bias out of it, whatever. Go ahead and look at what people thought about this offense in the offseason. Objective observers from around the league, the hardcore film watchers and what have you. This team, offensive line issues included, this team is drastically underperforming what they look like on paper.
No doubt.
Offensively.
No doubt.
They're just bad. I wouldn't even call it a slow unraveling. It's been a steady and consistent unraveling of any of the promise they had in the preseason as the year has gone on. And if something doesn't change between now and the end of the season or the postseason, it's impossible to look away from Bobby Slowick. What are you going to say? Like, show me the offensive coordinator out there who has all pros at all 11 positions on offense. There's the offensive line is not an excuse. Injuries are not an excuse.
No.
None of this is an excuse, and it falls back on at some point, just as you do with quarterbacks or various players, you got to try somebody new at offensive coordinator because Bobby Slowik is falling to dust.
Yeah.
In terms of any sense that this guy knows what he's doing, this is an inept offense. They look clueless out there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and it's a grab bag of issues. It's not one specific thing. It's all over the board.
Yeah.
Every single position.
Yep.
Quarterback included.
Yeah. No, you know, honestly, I mean, you didn't say anything wrong right there. You're absolutely right. For me, it's more on D'Amico now. Like, it's more on D'Amico now. It's ultimately up to the head coach to lead change with something and fix something that's going wrong. They've done nothing to fix it. They haven't changed anything. They've made efforts.
They've made efforts to fix it. It's just none of it's working.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess
they've tinkered with their protections. They've tinkered with what they're doing in the run game. Yeah. All of that. But every time they tinker with it, you get a short little burst of like, oh, the defense wasn't ready for that, and then you realize, oh yeah, but they're not actually doing the tinkering isn't being performed physically well. It's just the element of surprise.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, guys are getting physically beat.
Yeah.
You know, or CJ's making bad decisions or whatever, or John Metchie's making the wrong read in coverage. It's all over the board and it stinks.
Yeah.
It just stinks.
It's super concerning. Like, this is we've been saying it for 2 months. This is a crisis. This offensive line, this is an offensive crisis for this team, and the crisis is not getting solved right now.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I have no way of telling. I don't know if I can bring up historical examples of having your highest-paid offensive lineman be so incredibly bad at – well, actually, he's really good at committing penalties. He has a commanding lead on penalties in the league right now.
He's the best, yeah.
He's at 15 penalties on the season. Tyler Guyton – Has he been all pro like the last 4 years or not?
He's a rookie,
Seth.
I don't know
if this is something that good offensive linemen typically do
or not. He's on his way, though, this Guyton kid.
Laramie Tunsil, a three-penalty lead in that regard. Pre-snap penalties, he's also got a three-snap lead over everybody else. He's got 10 false starts. Nobody else has more than 7.
All right, let's laugh a little bit. On the post-game show yesterday, we'll get to acknowledge me in just a little bit. We had a caller named Nicole that called into the postgame show. Seth, you've not heard this yet.
No, I haven't. I saw it referenced, but I didn't. I thought it was a joke.
It got picked up by a few of the aggregators, too, out there.
Yeah,
like, you won't believe this! With the, like, red sirens, like, on the postgame show for the Texans. I know. We went slightly viral. A caller named Nicole called in and had a major concern about why things were happening, like Kyemi Fairbairn missing chip shot field goals, Bobby Slowik continuing to repetitively run plays that don't work. Here's what she thought. Nicole, appreciate your patience. Welcome in.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to air a couple of grievances that I have. And I'm going to establish that the NFL... the refs in Vegas are a cartel that manipulate all the games as they wish. And I feel like some players, such as Kyemi, are subject to being paid off at will because they're so good. He's so good. I don't believe he intentionally loses his kicks. I think he's paid to do so. And potentially, to my next grievance, is that the play calling can also be subject to being subject to the cartel. And that dude, I forgot his name, but he sucks.
His name's Bobby. His name's Bobby Slowik.
She didn't even specifically say offensive coordinator.
That's who she meant. I think. Well, we got another cut coming up here. Trust me, she meant Slowik. Yeah, yeah, she meant. But he sucks. Okay. So her hypothesis. We got a lot more. Trust me. Her hypothesis is that the cartels, and it seems like not like the drug cartels, like we saw in Breaking Bad and stuff, but like some gambling cartel out in Vegas.
I mean, she said it was the referees that were the cartel, but I would guess she means that they're an instrument of the cartels.
Probably so. But so, like, somehow, like, this wasn't Kyemi just missing it because he shanked a field goal.
She says he didn't intentionally do it, except that he's being paid to do it.
Yeah, being paid. So
that's being like, I don't, I don't, uh, I didn't choose to have sex with people for money, but they paid me to do it.
Right.
I had no choice.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That is.
I'm not really a prostitute. I just accept money for sex.
The bottom line.
Because
the
they pay me to do it.
The bottom line is that she thinks there's something untoward going on, where there's cartels involved in the Texans' poor performance yesterday. Here she blames the cartel for Slowick's bad play calling.
I don't know why he always calls that play where you throw to your left or your right and you have to catch up to the line of scrimmage. I don't know he does that. It never works. It never freaking works, and he does it all the time. I feel like he's sabotaging us. He always has Mixon come to drive right into a pile of guys that...
Yes!
I mean, why is it so unorthodox to run out left or right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a play caller. I'm just a girl.
Why
doesn't
he
ever have a play go out to the left or the right? I don't get it. He also could be subject to the cartel.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Slowick. The cartel's got to Slowick, man.
This is an answer. I've been looking for answers. Yes. This is an answer.
This actually is an answer. Like, why do they keep running it into a brick wall on first down and conceding second and 11? Cartels, hello. Yeah.
Hey, Nicole, your explanation is as good as any, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you
Nicole's speaking? Yeah, I can vote for this.
Do you want more?
Give me more.
You picking up what she's putting down? Because
I need to pull other people in. I'm somewhat informed now.
All right.
I've done enough. This is my own personal research. Is listening to Nicole, Sean. I've done the research, and you can't disprove any of this.
Okay. So we got Kaimi, cartel. Slowick, cartel, the big fear. Right.
Not because they intend to, but because they're being paid to.
Subjected to the cartels. The big fear, C.J. Stroud.
Third grievance, poor C.J., you know, he may be smart enough to know that these things are happening, or he may be shot down because I believe he's just as good as the old golden boy, Patrick. And right now he's the golden boy. So and he's what we need to strive towards. So I'm not making excuses for the bad things we did today, but CJ is right up there with him, and you can tell that his confidence is being shot. And why is that? Is the cartel doing that to him? I believe so.
Texan fans, I would feel a little better about this if I were Texan fans. Like, wow, this is inexplicable. How could Kaimi miss a 28-yard field goal? This is inexplicable. How could somebody be this inept as an OC to keep calling the same plays that don't work? This is inexplicable. How could C.J. Stroud have such a huge step backwards in year two of his NFL career? Cartel. Hello. It's the cartel.
I'm glad she brought up Mahomes, because I'm looking right now. It looks like the Chiefs are 0-5 against the spread in their last five games.
They play close games, man. That's all. Cartel might have gotten to Mahomes.
After the game, there was a quote yesterday about how him, like, they need to have a blowout win here at some point.
Yeah.
And I think what he probably meant to say was, like, we're making it a little too close. If the spread's 10.5, we got to only win by 10, not 3.
I don't know if you guys know. I heard from the cartel. Have you guys ever heard of cartel before? I heard from the cartel. Got to me, okay? It got to me. That's why we play so close.
All right, CJ. And remember, because she's a fan, she's not blaming any of them.
No.
We're just accepting the money to do this.
Yeah.
It's as good as any for me. At least that makes sense.
I got one more. We got one more, Nicole. Right. We got one more, Nicole. Because I said, so what you're telling me, Nicole, is what I said to her. I said, you're telling me the cartel is the reason why the Texans lost to the Titans today. And she said, no. This has been going on for multiple weeks now.
2 weeks ago, I believe Kaimi threw the game on Thursday Night Football. And this is not just about today. This is about what I've been witnessing weeks on end. And the quote unquote, my statement of the cartel, they've been at it for many, many years. So they know just when A call is needed to throw a game, to push the momentum in one way or the other. So don't, you know, you're the professional, so I know you know. You can see when that is happening.
Right. She knows I know. I mean, I live in that gambling world. I know you know, Sean, you D-gen. I know you know. Hang on, I got to read this. 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Let me clarify, guys, for Nicole. The Texans' play calling is so stupid, they have to be getting paid off.
It is almost. I really honestly wish that I could just take this leap and believe all of it and say, well, hey, look, because the classic, this is where everybody gets themselves into trouble with all this. Like, you can't prove this didn't happen. Oh, right, yeah. You can't prove that lots of things didn't happen. Right. Like, you need actual evidence. I'll tell you from a player's perspective.
Yeah.
The only time I really remember this, and this was before social media, was the year we went 2-14 in 2005.
Yeah.
And Chris Brown, who 100% I can tell you was not being paid off by any kind of cartel, missed some bad field goals. And people were convinced that this was because he was instructed to, because we were trying to draft Reggie Bush, you know, that we were trying to get in. Yeah. And I'm like, man, you don't have these conversations with Chris Brown after these games and everything to know exactly how devastating it is.
Yep.
That's where ultimately it's the most, as a player, you're kind of like, are you serious? Like, I'd rather you guys just call me a bum. than attack my integrity.
Right.
Because my defense is no. We're actually just really bad at our jobs, all right? I'm sorry. That's my impassioned defense. It's like, no, actually, I'm just bad at what I do, okay?
Oh, my God. That's funny.
I would prefer that I were being paid off, honestly, because I would have some control in that matter, unless I was being blackmailed.
This is the text message. That girl reminds me of Mama Sterner. I think it's the opposite. Now, I'm here for a Nicole and Mama Sterner podcast. I think that would be great. Mama Sterner would never accuse people of throwing things. She would just tell you how bad you suck at stuff. You know?
Have you ever seen on social media the woman, the grandmother, whose grandson will do things like he'll take her picture and put it on like a shampoo container at Walmart. And there'll be like 10 of them lined up. And she'll be walking through and looking at the products, and she'll be like, what the hell happened? Where? And then she gets irate. He did it with a billboard once.
It was the
face of constipation, and it was her face up on a billboard.
That's pretty good. how did we get here? Mama Sterner? Is that how we
Yeah, Mama Sterner. Yeah. She reminds me of how angry Mama Sterner okay, would be. Thank you for remembering how I got there.
It's really funny, but how did we get here?
Well, the whole thing about Nicole is she was very open and transparent. It's cool sometimes to see it through the eyes of somebody who is relatively uneducated or uninformed, because it is true. If you're watching football, we've all watched football with somebody who's like, why doesn't the quarterback just throw it to where there aren't any people?
Right.
You know, and then you got to explain that, like, okay, well, the defensive back would have been there, but he saw where the throw was going. But Nicole's watching the games, and she's like, how come they're running the ball into that brick wall of people at the line of scrimmage? That doesn't seem to make much sense.
Right.
And it's hard. It gets harder and harder with Bobby Slowick to explain exactly why they're doing what they are doing. At some point, you're just like, yeah, probably a cartel. Probably a cartel.
Text message, finally someone's making some sense.
This offense has not performed well enough to escape the accusations of being an instrument of the cartel. I'll tell you that much.
God. Let's acknowledge.
They haven't escaped that scrutiny.
Let's acknowledge a few people here. We do a little segment called Acknowledge Me. Not much to acknowledge with the Texans, but I think there were two guys to acknowledge. But first, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be classy. Will Levis.
Acknowledge me.
He's the better quarterback yesterday, man. He won the duel with C.J. Stroud. 18 of 24, 278 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, granted, one of his chunk plays was just a dump down to the tight end that the Texans just completely blew. 70 of the 278 yards came on that one play, but guess what? They executed it, and he gets credit for it. The 63-yard play to Calvin Ridley, I thought was a great throw. He had pressure in his face. Will Levis was sacked 8 times on the day, and he kept getting back up.
Yeah.
Give Will Levis a lot of credit yesterday, man. Got to acknowledge the Mayo King.
He did exactly what we were afraid he would do, which is he's capable of these shot plays. And yet he was also very efficient to begin the game. He was 11 for 12. You know it's in him. You know, he's shown that he's able to do that even in his bad games. He's got a nice, really easy release where it's a flick of the wrist sometimes on these deep shots. If you give him the opportunity, he's going to take advantage of it. And he had been playing better. This was the big unknown about Will Levis coming into this game. He's been back for three games now. In his first two games back from his injury, he was playing the Chargers and he's playing the Vikings. So he's playing two good defenses, but looked better.
Yeah.
But they're not scoring more than 17 points in either of those games. So you're wondering, all right, what exactly is he? He still threw another bad interception for a pick six in this game.
He did.
And yet... The upside is still there. You can see it. So
no doubt.
Kudos to him.
Kudos to Will Levis. No, the big number I saw, Seth, and what you're talking about pre-injury and post-injury.
Yeah.
I think 5.7 yards per attempt before the injury, just a bunch of dink and dunk and dunk and dink. Coming back from the injury, he's averaging, and I'm sure it's gone up now, over 8 yards per attempt. He averaged almost 12 yards per attempt yesterday.
Part of it is this offense starting to kick in. How did the Texans really have their back broken yesterday? Play action. Play it. They run zone, run to the left.
Yep.
It's play action, and Henry Toa is completely bitten on the play action. All the stuff that defenses don't do versus the Texans, because they don't actually, they're not fooled by any of it. The Titans are figuring it out. Took half a season, Bobby Slowick.
Yep.
Half a season.
Bobby's...
This is why teams hire offense. It took half a season.
It's bad.
And you're getting crushed by it.
It's bad.
But now here we are. Well, it takes time for the zone run scheme to work out, especially. This goes back to D'Amico. You hire an offensive line coach with no familiarity in this system.
Yeah.
The offensive line plays like they've got a coach that's got no familiarity in this system.
It is, man. You got to hire well, for sure. I will now acknowledge a couple of Houston Texans. This is the duo that kept this team in the game yesterday. Danielle Hunter.
Acknowledge me!
Let's listen to it, man. Let's hear the montage.
Levis, shotgun. Pollard behind him now. They're getting to the pistol set. Four-man front for Houston. First down from the Tennessee 22. Mm-hmm. Here comes Hunter. And Danielle with a sack on Levis. A beauty. Four-man front for the Texans. Levis is going to throw it this time. Now pressured out to the left. Levis in trouble. Levis sacked. Danielle Hunter with his second of the game. Levis under pressure again immediately, and he's going to be sacked again.
Unbelievable.
Mario Edwards and Danielle Hunter get there to bring down the quarterback. A big loss on the play.
Danielle is on a heater right now, man. 3 sacks, 5 TFLs yesterday.
Yeah.
He has been a beast. He's double-digit sack guy now again for however many times in his career. He's up to 10.5 sacks now. That has been a dynamite signing for this team. He's been excellent.
In terms of off-season acquisitions and off-season, just how things looked in the off-season, the pass rush in total, including Will Anderson and what you'd hope to get out of him, is the one area that I feel best about right now.
Lived up to the hype, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm happy with Joe Mixon. I don't think that he's... I think in another situation, it would be way more impressive. I mean, this team now versus the 3 genuinely good run defenses they've faced, the Vikings, the Lions, and now the Titans. Yeah. The Titans were 5th in yards per carry against going into yesterday's game. They just haven't done anything. You know, Joe Mixon averages 1.8. The Vikings game, Joe Mixon wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
Like, okay, maybe it'll be different with Mixon. But it was also one of their worst rushing performances of the year.
That's right.
When they go up against full-grown men, they get turned into pathetic little boys whose nose is running, who's crying because they've lost a mitten. All of that. It's boys versus men when they go up against good rushing defenses.
Undoubtedly is, man.
Oh my gosh, Tavondre Sweat, what he did to Tank Dell. To Shaq Mason.
Oh my God. I was like, where is the offensive lineman on this play? And Shaq's literally like sitting on the ground.
He swatted him away. And Shaq, by the laws of physics, it should be hard to swat Shaq like that.
He's got an incredibly low center of gravity.
He's a big man who's like 6'1".
Yeah.
And yet Tavondre Sweat just swatted him away.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Like a disused tissue.
Mm-hmm.
While we're acknowledging Danielle Hunter, his partner in crime, Will Anderson.
Acknowledge me.
Let's hear his two, Ben.
Third down at six at the Houston 31. Levis out of the gun. He's got a little time now trying to scramble, and Will Anderson rips him down for the sack. Welcome back, Will. That's 8.5 on the year for Will Anderson Jr. Second and 10 at the Houston 20. Levis in the gun. Here's the snap. Here's pressure and a sack by Will Anderson Jr. back at the 29-yard line. Will, two sacks on the day. A big one at a big time. Third and long.
Okay, so Ross Tucker was on the call yesterday, along with Jay Feely, who I feel like Jay Feely, I hadn't listened to him in a while. He's come a long way. And from being kind of like the guy that they asked about the kicking and everything, to like Feely really, you can tell he's really been studying over these last few years. But I think that the cool thing about yesterday, and Ross pointed this out a couple times, was that J.C. Latham, the left offensive tackle, was an Alabama guy. And he should know Will Anderson from practicing against him. And I loved it because Will Anderson in college, he was a speed to power guy. You know, he's going to rush upfield, then turn in and bull rush the offensive tackle. Last year, Will was doing the same thing. And in the NFL, it doesn't work out as well because you've got full grown men that know how to anticipate and stop your bull rush. With Latham, the difference is Will was doing kind of what he did in college, except now he's working edges.
Yeah.
He's finding the soft shoulder of the offensive tackle. And Latham was probably like, oh, yeah, I know this. I know this. Hey, what the hell?
Hey!
Will Anderson went through puberty all over the summer.
New tricks.
Yeah. Because Will was doing a lot of the same, except attacking an edge as he was doing it. And that's where he's come along as a pass rusher. He's just got a much better feel for how to attack the weakness of an offensive lineman. So that was cool to see. I had a few listeners reach out to me that said that they love Ross from his appearances with us, but that made it doubly hard to hear him gush over some of the things that the Titans did well.
Well, we're going to talk to him tomorrow.
They felt betrayed.
He covered that game. We'll talk to him plenty about the game tomorrow, get his post-game thoughts on it. He joins us at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays, Ross Tucker. We'll give Ross a little acknowledgement too, because we've had a few people on the text page say Ross did a really good job yesterday. Yeah, Ross is excellent. He's really good.
He was making too many excuses for the Titans offensive line, but we'll take it up with him on that. He was blaming Will Levis for almost every single sack.
Okay. Yeah. He's an offensive lineman, so yeah, there you go.
He had a point. I feel like we'll take him to task for this tomorrow.
Okay.
I felt like his bias seeped through a little too much.
Sounds good. Hey, quick acknowledgement, Saquon Barkley.
Acknowledge me.
255 yards rushing last night. 302 total yards from scrimmage last night for Saquon in their win over the Rams last night. Saquon making a run at MVP, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Making a run at MVP because it doesn't feel like there's a quarterback who's really taking the award by the throat. I think Josh Allen's the favorite right now, but Josh Allen wasn't that great the first half of the year. We saw him here at NRG Stadium. So
my one saving grace in being skeptical of Saquon Barkley in the offseason has been Derrick Henry, you know, was pace for pace with Saquon Barkley in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
He's starting to fall off a little bit. I really need Derrick Henry to have a real surge here late this season.
You'll get him tonight. Tonight they play. Yeah. It's the Harbaugh Bowl tonight.
And Saquon, I don't want to wish for this, but Saquon, one of my big concerns about him was his ability to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And not just, like, and play well throughout the season, even if he is banged up. But so far, Seth's looking kind of dumb on that.
They signed him to a 3-year deal, and they're running him like they're not really into years 2 and 3 of this thing. Like, you know, they're...
Yeah, you got to smoke him while you got him. You know, I can't. Yeah. Whenever you bring up the advanced stats, all that, it's like, yeah, look, it is what it is. We're rolling the dice on this.
Yeah.
We're going to stop being awesome right now.
It's hard to argue, man. Yeah. They're 9-2, you know, like the Eagles, and they figured things out. And that's the ironic thing. You know what? Nick Sirianni, Ben. I want to acknowledge Nick Sirianni.
Acknowledge me.
That after like week 4, he brings all his kids to a press conference and he's just like completely dismissing the Eagles are playing like crap. And he's like, guys, we'll fix it. It's no problem. Like, why are you guys like, this guy got one kid on the left knee, one kid on the right knee, the other two looking like they don't even want to be there at the press conference. And Nick Sirianni's like, guys, you worry too much. It's all going to get fixed. And sure enough, man. It's won like 8 in a row. He, you know, like it's the opposite of last season, like where he was downer at the end of the year, man. They're picking up steam now 11 games into the season. So actually, they started 10-1 last year, so technically they're not as good. But, it feels like they're moving.
They fell apart.
Yeah. It feels like they're moving in the right direction. All right, that was Acknowledge Me, acknowledging big performances from over the weekend. The Texans' percentage chance to make the playoffs, as of right now, I'm going to tell you what it is when we come back. Does it feel remotely close to this right now? Do they feel like they have this percentage of chance to make the playoffs? That is coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
The reaction's not good, man. The reaction is not good. Texans doing a lot of the same things that have been allowing bad teams to stay in games, and the Texans win in the end. Now they're losing these games. They're losing to two-win Jets, losing to the two-win Titans. This just in, you know how many wins the Jags have, Seth? Two. That's how many. Yeah, they've gotten really good at losing to two-win teams over the last month or so.
And the thing, it would almost at least be less frustrating if the Texans had blown out teams along the way.
Correct.
Or just had signature victories against good teams or what have you. And they have not done that. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like you're holding on for dear life no matter who the opponent is. So yeah, I thought Clint, by the way, Sean, yesterday made a really good point at one time. It was after the DeMeco press conference, I think, when they point to these situational football issues where, okay, they're making mistakes in critical areas or key areas, and they got to stop that. And Clint, to paraphrase him, just said, yeah, but they're making those same errors throughout the game.
They're just bad.
So, yes, they're going to pop up because they pop up in non-critical situations. How many times are there critical situations specifically because somebody made an error that turned it into a critical situation? Yep. Oh, it's 3rd and 20 now, you say.
How did we get here?
Instead of 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
Because your offensive linemen just have no respect for law or order. They're a bunch of scofflaws out there. Yeah. They just don't care. They say they pee all over the rule book.
Yep.
That's their pep talk every morning before the game. They go into the bathroom. Yeah. They go into the shower. They put a rule book on the shower floor, and then they all pee on
it.
They have a big old sword fight together.
Big old sword fight.
Yeah.
Just doing a quick dashboard check on the Texans' postseason chances. According to playoffstatus.com, you tell me, Seth, does this feel like a team that has an 89% chance to make the postseason right now? Because that's what the computers and the simulations are telling us.
Sean, you got to remember, they still have a game coming up against the Titans. Who are they? They suck,
that's
right?
True. That's
true. They've got the Jaguars coming up, and they certainly couldn't lose to a two-win football team.
Right.
No, I don't. I know. Everybody that wants to say I told you so or what have you, this game right here, even if the Texans had won, even if Kyahmi Fairbairn could be troubled to make a 28-yard field goal and then they win the game after that, I think I'd be saying the exact same thing. You're not going to do a damn thing in the playoffs when you play the way you've been playing.
Yes, that is where mentally I was preparing myself for the postgame. Because I was like, okay, they're in the fourth quarter, I'm like, all right, they're up 27-23. I'm like, all right, they're going to win this game. But, there is a lot to worry about still with this team. And I guess they did me the good service of not sounding like a negative Nancy amidst a win. They said, no, Sean, it's cool. We'll just lose, so your negativity is actually very, very applicable. Now, they still have a two-game lead in the division. The Colts are kind of a mess. I would say the rest of the division's a mess, but you just lost to one of them yesterday. But the Titans are 3-8. They're not catching you, I don't think. The math is out there, but this team is capable. I'm with you, Seth. Like, they're... I'll tell you what, 0-5 has a much bigger chance of happening than 5-0 down the stretch here. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah. The thought of them going on a run or something. I mean,
that ain't happening.
And I know that this is a sentiment that a lot of people share. And usually I would try to be Joe Rational about this. I don't want to hear about any more players-only meetings.
As soon as Jimmy said that yesterday, I'm like, well, that's a bad look. I'm glad you brought that up because I know you, as a former player, you kind of bring a little bit of sanity to the perception of the players-only meeting.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Ward, with a quote that we played from him earlier where we were asking, hey, man, why do you guys get in all these close games? And he talked about playing down to the level of competition. And he made it sound like they've had multiple players-only meetings, and there might need to be another one here soon. And that's another, to me, this is, again, a fan who's never been in these, quote, players-only meetings. I'm like, isn't this the job of the head coach eventually to get these guys to get their act in order? Like,
yeah, there is a part. Yes, leadership from within is awesome and everything.
Yes.
But the problem is on offense right now, they're playing like children. They need guidance. You never say, boy, this junior high has a whole lot of issues. Yeah. You know what we really need? We need the junior high students to really get together and lead leadership from the junior high itself.
We need the eighth graders to really take the reins.
Yeah, the offense is performing like a poorly performing junior high, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you need the Joe, the Batman from the movie there, or whomever to come in, but it's not the students themselves that are the issue. The other part about it, too, is maybe more relatable is anybody that's listening who's ever been in a company that's struggling or something that, like, when is it ever the actual solution when it's like, God, maybe we need to have more meetings? It's been my experience in organizations of all variety that when you start thinking that, like, maybe we need more meetings, that's a symptom, not a cure.
Excellent point.
Maybe I need to have more headaches, to stop having these headaches.
I liked Jimmy Ward's interview that he did with me and Clint in the postgame, but the player, when he brought up the players-only meetings, like, no, that ain't it. Also not it, D'Amico, I thought D'Amico's had a lot of good moments, man, as head coach of this football team, and I'm hopeful for many, many more in the future. This, to me, was his worst press conference moment after a loss yesterday. The question was, are you concerned that you need more from the offense? Keep in mind, need more from the offense. An offense that has scored a total of 7 touchdowns in the second half of football, 12 football games this year, 7 touchdowns in the second half.
The concern for me is we need to play complementary football, right? We play complementary football, we win games. When we don't, we're not relying on one side, right, to carry the entire team. So whatever happens, like, our offense gave us enough points to win the game. So that starts with the defense. We didn't do enough to stop them. We didn't stop the run, and we didn't run the ball well. And we gave up way too many points on defense. So our offense did plenty. They gave us enough points. And defense, we had to be able to stop them.
They didn't give you enough points. The defense gave you 7 of those points on a Jimmy Ward pick 6. So the offense scored 20. 7 of those came on a one-play touchdown drive in the first 15 seconds of the game. 3 of those came after a muffed punt where the offense moved the ball 7 yards on 4 plays. So the offense in the second half of this football game, when you take penalty yardage out, like the net yardage in the second half, they ran 29 plays and gained 54 net yards.
Oh my God.
Let me say that again. D'Amico Ryans thinks that an offense that in the second half of this football game ran 29 plays, and when you add it all up, penalties and everything, gained 54 yards, did enough to win the football game.
Sean, this is the problem.
Why does he do this?
This is the problem right there. That's a speech you give to the defense on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we don't make excuses. We got to do enough. Look, that's a bad offense we played that struggles to score them more than 17 points in a game. And that's something a defensive coordinator says.
Yeah.
When it comes to looking at the sum total of everything and the big picture, no. The offense was an issue yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Multiple things can be true. It can be both the offense and the defense. And yep. That feels like a defensive coordinator who happens to be the head coach.
Yes. Oh, bingo. Yes. That's what it feels like. And that's a concern. That's a major concern, especially when you got so many
meeting about that.
So many problems to fix. You, me, and Ben after the show, Seth. Players only.
They're running out of time during the day to have players only meetings. That's the hardest thing. They're going to have to be sure you check your GPS monitors to be sure you guys aren't meeting too much. The fatigue will set in.
All those short weeks coming up. How are they going to squeeze?
Go get your damn hot apple cider and a nap and a hug from grandma.
Oh man,
you know,
Seth. Antibodies to you.
Antibodies and dash your GPS monitors against the rocks. Get back to old school football, damn it.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right, we're done. We are out of time. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, they're going to take you through the next couple hours. Keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long as we do the autopsy on yesterday's horrific loss to the Tennessee Titans.